Well, good morning.
Morning.
Open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. First of all, I would like to mention, because of Mother's Day being on Sunday, May 8th last month, I will be teaching our last lesson on our series, Journey with Jonah, this Sunday before we start our new series, because this is a very important lesson that we're going to go to this week in Jonah chapter 4. I'd like to ask you a question before we get started. Are you ever an ugly person? Now, I'm not talking about outward ugliness. Rather, are you ever an ugly person inside? Have you ever done anything that people would consider ugly, that people would consider not godly? When we get down to it, and when we really think about it, and the matter of the heart, I guess we all have our ugly moments, even pastors. We say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. Have you ever noticed the Bible, however, never spares the faults of its characters? The Bible always tells us the good of people and the bad of people, because all of us have those times. The Bible, however, does not spare us the bad times in people's lives to let us know that we all have bad times. Yeah. We all go through hard times. If it spared us all the bad times, chapter 4 of Jonah would have never been written. This book could have easily ended in chapter 3, but if it had, we would have gone away with the wrong impression of Jonah and would have missed the real meaning and the message of this book. In Jonah chapter 3, we saw that Jonah had surrendered to God's will and went and preached to the people of Nineveh. What happened? When he preached to the people of Nineveh, they got saved. They repented and came back to God. Last week we looked at that chapter, in chapter 3, and rightly held up Jonah's example as one that we should all follow. We should repent when we're doing wrong. We should repent when we've sinned against God. Because we cannot have a right heart with God unless we repent. And we cannot have all the blessings God has in store of us unless we repent of our sins. Because the Bible says, King David, even a man after God's own heart, said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers." Amen. He will not hear me. Amen. So we understand that this was a very important time in Jonah's life. Not only did Jonah obey God and preach to the king in Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh responded in an incredible way. Not only did they repent of their sin, they were brought back in the favor with God. The chapter ends this way. If you open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3, we're going to read one verse, if you'll stand with me. The Bible said, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and did it not." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given this week. We pray, Father, that you would inspire me to preach. Fill me with your spirit and your power, that I may teach your word in a way that it is understandable and that would touch somebody's heart today. Lord, we all have hard times. We all have times that we do things and say things we shouldn't say. We all get angry with you at times. And that's what our message is today. How Jonah got angry with God and how he resented the people getting saved in Nineveh. Lord, we thank you for your message. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you would think that Jonah would have been overjoyed with the results of their preaching. You think he would have been overjoyed and happy with everything that happened to the people of Nineveh, that they had came back to God, that they had repented of their sins. But in chapter 4, we're going to see the ugly side of Jonah. And we need to see this side of Jonah for two basic reasons. Number one, we need to be reminded that we too have an ugly side. And number two, we need to note that God keeps on trying to teach Jonah and us even through our ugliness. God always will teach us lessons even though we're not the best we can be. God always works in our lives and tries to teach us lessons even when we're not our best and when we're not serving Him in the way He would have us to do. In Jonah chapter 4, we discover three truths about Jonah that will help us in our daily walk. Number one, Jonah is angry with God. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil. Verse 3, therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? We see here that Jonah did not take the results of his preaching to heart. He got mad at God. He said, I just want to die because these people had repented. I just wanted to die. Why did you not destroy them like you told me you was going to? You made me look bad. You made me look like I wasn't telling the truth. You had me go preach a message to them, a message of destruction, a message that they would be destroyed because of their wickedness, but you changed your mind. Can you imagine how Jonah felt? Could you imagine what would happen to one of us if we got a message from God and we told people about it and then it didn't happen? What would people think about us? They would think we wasn't telling the truth. They would think we wasn't a messenger of God. So Jonah had hard feelings against God. How many of you would like to have on display at the church a life-size photo of yourself the last time you got angry? How many of you would like to have shown a 5-minute audio visual presentation of the last time you lost your temper? I believe we would all choose to pass on that opportunity. We would not want to show anybody our ugly side. We would not want to show anybody how we got mad. We would not show anybody how we lost our temper. But we all have those moments. We all have an ugly side, just as Jonah did. Listen, the reason we would pass on that opportunity is because we all know that we are our ugliest when we get angry. The Bible says that Jonah was angry. Now, he wasn't just a little angry. He was boiling mad. He was so mad he wanted God to kill him. He was so mad at what God had done. God had saved the people of Nineveh. He had chosen to not destroy them, and to draw them back to himself. And Jonah, he didn't like that at all. He said, just kill me. Just kill me. I'm not a messenger of yours. I told them you were going to destroy them. And now you've changed your mind. I told them that you weren't pleased with you. And you accepted them back when they repented. Jonah was very angry. He could not stand what God had done. You know, there's a place in the kingdom of God for anger. But it must be a righteous anger. It must conform to God's will and be acted on in a godly manner. We are to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. But Jonah was angry because he hated what God loved, the people of Nineveh. God loved those people when they repented, but Jonah wanted to die. He wanted to just be wiped off the face of the earth. He said, you did this thing against my will. You did this thing when you told me they were going to be destroyed. You chose not to. When I delivered this message you gave me, when I told them what you told me, you changed your mind. So Jonah got very angry. Jonah was angry because he hated what God loved, the people of Nineveh. Jonah was so angry, he began to rebuke God for God's compassion and love. Do you know why Jonah was so upset? There's two possibilities. He may have been upset because he thought God had embarrassed him. And secondly, he preached that the Ninevites would be destroyed, but God spared them. Those were two things that Jonah was upset about. He thought they were embarrassed. He felt embarrassed that he had preached this message of destruction, and now they didn't get destroyed. And he did not love the people of Nineveh like God loved them. Matter of fact, he hated the people of Nineveh. He did not have any compassion for them. He did not have any love for them. He, more than likely, he didn't even like them. He wanted them destroyed. But God chose not to destroy them. Listen, most likely Jonah was upset because he wanted the Ninevites to be destroyed, and God chose not to destroy them. Jonah knew that his preaching had led to the salvation of the enemies of his people. These people of Nineveh were against the Jews. They did not like the Jews. They fought against the Jews and the Israelites. So Jonah wanted them destroyed. He wanted them completely wiped off the face of the earth. But God chose not to do that. He knew that all Israel would hate him for what he had done. And he was upset because he would have been much better off personally if they had been destroyed. But whether Jonah was mad out of embarrassment or angry because God had spared the lives of the people of Nineveh, he hated, is not the real problem. The problem is, at its root, is that Jonah cared more about what people thought about him than he did about what God thought about him. Amen. That was the main problem. He thought more about himself and his wishes and his wants than what God wanted to do. This, my friend, is many times our problem. We think more about ourselves than we do about the lost world. We think more about ourselves than we do the people out there that need Jesus. Amen. This was the problem with Jonah. He cared more about himself, his wants and his wishes, than he did about what God wanted. God wanted to save them. God wanted to redeem them. God wanted to accept them. But Jonah wanted to destroy them. Jonah wanted them all to be destroyed. Listen, my friend. Many times, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, and why you do go along with the things of this world. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. You go right along with those who slander, slash others with juicy gossip. You men here today know exactly what I'm talking about. Oftentimes, we may be prone to go right along with the dirty stories, filthy language that others use because we want to be accepted as good old boys and not thought of as religious fanatics. A lot of us here today have this same problem as Jonah had in our lives. We care more about what the guy or the girl at work thinks about us more than we do about what God thinks about us. Listen, my friend, it's not accepting of man that we need to be worried about. It's acceptance of God. What does God think about us? It's not what people think about you that's important. God doesn't see on the outside. You may not be the prettiest person. You may not dress the best. You may not be the best. But God doesn't look on the outside. God looks on the inside. God looks at what we are on the inside, not what we look like on the outside. And Jonah didn't understand this. Jonah wanted these people destroyed. God wanted to save them. This was Jonah's main problem. This is why he was arguing with God. This is why he was mad at God. Listen, some of you young people know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be the oddball at school. Don't want to be labeled different. So you go along with the crowd, even when you know the crowd is going away from the Lord. Many of us really do care more about what others think than we do about what God thinks. And that, my Christian brothers and sisters, is a very ugly picture. Secondly, Jonah is angry and pouting. Look in verses 4 through 8. Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished him in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Listen, my friend, Jonah was so angry and upset with God, he decided to go on a sit-down strike. Notice that although Jonah was angry, God was still being patient and kind to him. Jonah took God's goodness for granted. He assumed it was to be expected. He probably thought it was the least God could do for him because he was a servant of God. How many of you here today expect God to bless you because you live for Him? How many of you just expect God to bless you because you're obedient to Him? Listen, God does not owe us anything. If we all got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell Amen. Today. If God give us what we deserved in this life, we'd all be separated from Him. But God's love and mercy, just as He showed it to Jonah, by preparing this gourd to overshadow him, to take care of him, to keep him sheltered, my friend, He'll do the same for you. He'll shelter you. He'll keep you from harm. Don't expect it, but God does it anyway. God does not owe us anything, just like He did not owe Jonah anything. But Jonah expected it. Notice that all Jonah was angry, God was still patient and kind to him. Jonah took God's goodness for granted. He probably thought that God owed him something. Jonah was probably having thoughts like this: I suffered enough on this stupid missionary journey. It's about time you provided a little comfort for me. How many of us have said that? I've suffered enough in this life, God. How about some ease? How about some comfort? How about you giving me some mercy and grace? Many times we think God owes us something, just like Jonah did. The problem with all this was that Jonah cared far more about his own comfort than he did about the city of Nineveh. As we reach out into our community with the gospel of Christ, understand that God is going to pull us out of our comfort zone. He's going to pull us out, stretch us, and mold us into what He thinks we should be in order to be a witness for Him. I've searched the whole Bible, and I can't find any plan for easy chair evangelism. Believe me, I've looked, and it's not there. But what I found is a plan that says, go make disciples, baptize, and teach obedience to my commands. And to whom does the Bible tell us to go to fulfill this commission? To all nations, to all people, even people that we don't like. Amen. Even people that are sinners. Even people that we don't want to get around. God calls us to go to everyone. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about His love. Tell them about His mercy. Tell them about the kindness and the goodness of God. Listen, my friend, to reach those people, we must be willing to step out of our perspective shells and comfort and get out and spread the gospel in the far reaches of our nation and our world. We need to forsake our own comfort so that we might confront the world with Jesus Christ. That's not easy to do in the United States, where Christians on the average spend more time and more money on eye makeup than they do on mission work. Pastor Alan Frannon of the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma says this never hit home for him until he was looking over some figures for a church he had once pastored. This is what he said: I suddenly realized that once a year we had raised $1,275 for Mission Christmas Offering. That same year, we raised $13,000 for a new air conditioning system for the church. Now, Pastor Franken wasn't saying there was anything wrong with buying an air conditioner to keep the church comfortable for people to sit in. His point was, people spend more money on the things they want than the things that are necessary to build God's kingdom. Yeah. Listen, my friend, compare that. $1,275 for Mission Christmas Offering versus $13,000 for a new air conditioning system. He wasn't saying there's anything wrong with air conditioning. The problem was that their giving indicated that they care more about their own comfort than they did about the rest of the world hearing the gospel. The problem is one of attitude and outlook. When God calls us to give, whether money, time, or talents, we shouldn't get angry because God demands so much of us. Instead, we should praise Him that He's given us the opportunity to serve Him. God has been extremely good to us in the United States of America. Even in the worst years we've had, many times we have much more than the rest of the world. And maybe like Jonah, we have come to expect it. Maybe when we do experience a financial setback, we get angry with God and pout like Jonah. Can we not learn from this book today that God is far more concerned and far more interested in our concern for others than He is about our own comfort. God says we must come out of our comfort zone to reach the lost. We must come out of our comfort zone to spread the gospel. It's not about how comfortable we are. And Jonah wanted to be comfortable. He left God. He went and sat under a tree to take a break. Sat under this gourd to get some shade. But what did God do? God sent a strong wind. He sent a worm to eat the gourd up. And the gourd was no longer there. He was out in the sun. And what did he do? He got mad at God. He said, "Just kill me. I just want to die. I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to be here because you don't care for me anymore. You've taken this gourd away. You've taken my shade away. So just kill me. I just want to die. I don't want to be here with the people of Nineveh. I don't want to be here with the king. I don't want to be here in this land. Just kill me. Just kill me and do away with me." Jonah didn't realize that God had a plan for his life. Maybe, like Jonah, we have come to expect God always to provide our needs and to be there in our comfort times and to comfort us through everything. Maybe when we do experience that financial setback, we get angry with God and pout like Jonah. Thirdly, Jonah is angry and stubborn. Look in verses 8 through 11. "And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" Verse 9. "And God said to Jonah, 'Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?' And he said, 'I do well to be angry, even to death.' Then said the Lord, 'Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?' Did you know that you can't teach a stubborn, angry person? They've got their own way of doing things. They want to live the way they want to live. They want to do the things they want to live. You can't teach them anything. And God had a hard time teaching Jonah. He had a hard time teaching Jonah that these people were worth saving. Many times we think that they're not worth saving. Many times we think they've lived their life on their own. I've got a sister-in-law that can't stay out of jail. She's in jail all the time. My wife prayed for her. She'd get out of jail. Then she'd commit other crime and get right back in jail. I think she's in jail now. She's been in jail most of her life. Does that not mean she does not deserve God's love?
No.
That means she deserves more of God's love.
Amen.
And more of our love.
Amen.
People that are down on their luck, people that are in jail, people that are facing hard times, need more prayer. They need more of our concern. Amen. They need more of our compassion. They need more of our love.
Amen.
Because they will not find the love of Jesus unless we show them the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, my friend, God loves the sinner as much as He does the saint. The only difference is the sinner has not yet come to Christ.
Right.
We all were sinners at one time. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We've all sinned. None of us are perfect. None of us are righteous in His eyes. The Bible says all of our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight
Amen.
Of God.
Right.
Listen, my friend, we need to understand that we don't need to be like Jonah that wanted to die because God cared about the people of Nineveh.
Amen.
Never go out in the world and think, well, that person's not worth saving.
No.
That person's not worth me caring about. That person's not worth my compassion. Those people that are down on their luck, those people that are lost, those people that need Jesus deserve more of our compassion, more of our love, more of our concern, and they deserve it to be delivered unto them with all love we can muster up
Amen.
Out of our heart.
Amen.
Those people really need God. Why can a stubborn, angry person be taught anything? His mind is closed. He's determined not to open it for anyone. Sometimes I find we're very close related to Jonah. We become so stubborn that we refuse to learn what God is trying to teach us. We would rather carry on our own life in a usual fashion than to listen to God and to change our ways. Many times, the same sins that we have controlled us today are the same ones that were controlling us many years ago because we've been too stubborn to listen to God and repent. Many lost people will spend an eternity in hell because we are too stubborn to spread the message of God to their lives. They may know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They may know that they are lost in their sins. They may even know that their own wife or husband or children are burdened to tears for their souls. Yet, because of our stubbornness, we refuse to share Jesus with them so that they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen, my friend, we need to be out in the highways. What Jesus said, go into the hedges and the highways. Go out into the world and spread the gospel. We need to be telling people about Jesus, telling them that He wants to have a relationship with them, telling them that He loves them, telling them that He cares for them, telling them that He wants to have a personal relationship with them and save them from the devil's hell. Listen, my friend. Now, I don't know if God's message got through to Jonah or not. The Bible does not tell us. But I doubt that it ever did. It was a message that Jonah and all the Israelites needed to hear.
Amen.
Do you know what the message was? Are you open enough to God to hear it? It was a message about God's universal love and grace. In essence, God was saying this to Jonah. Jonah, you cared about a silly vine. Surely I should care about a city filled with people.
Amen.
Notice this. Jonah cared more about the gourd than he did about the people of Nineveh. God said, you cared about that vine that I placed over you to give you shade, but you don't care about the people of Nineveh.
Amen.
My children. This, my friend, is what we do many times in our own life. Jonah didn't even work for the vine, yet he cared for it. Jonah, I created these people. I care about them. I love them. And I want you to go minister to them. In closing this message, my friend, and this series of messages, let me say to you that the real message of this book is not about a fish or a prophet. The real message is that God loves and has compassion for all people, not just Israelites, Americans, whites, blacks, yellows, or reds, not just Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, Independents, Nazarene. God loves and cares for all
Amen.
His creation.
Amen.
even those we call less fortunate. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The message of Jonah is a beautiful picture of God's love. It's a beautiful enough to overshadow the ugly picture of Jonah. And it's beautiful enough to overshadow the ugly picture of all of us. Listen, my friend. Jonah was a man that needed to be woke up. He needed to be trained and taught in the ways of God. He needed to realize that God cared more about the people of Nineveh than he cared about Jonah's comfort. He needed to realize that Jonah was not in the will of God when he wanted to die. He should have been out there rejoicing with the people of Nineveh. He should have been praising God for saving their souls. But Jonah got mad. Jonah said, just let me die. You save these people, just let me die. I just want to die. I don't want to even be here. Why was Jonah mad? He was mad because God had embarrassed him, and God's plan for the people of Nineveh was different than his plan.
Amen.
He wanted them destroyed. God wanted to save them.
Amen.
The message of Jonah is about the love of God and God's love for the people of Nineveh. He loved them so much, he was willing to put Jonah's concern, Jonah's care, Jonah's comfort aside and save the people of Nineveh.
Amen.
We should do the same.
Amen.
We should put our comfort aside. We should put our thoughts aside. And we should care about the people in our world that are lost. Our family, our friends, our relatives, all those people that need Jesus so much in today's society. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to bring your word today. We ask you, Lord, that you will bless this message in the hearts of those that are here today. Use it in a mighty way that they may go out and preach and teach the word of Christ. We ask you, Lord, that you'll be with us in our invitation. That for anyone here that needs Jesus, we pray, God, that they would be like the people of Nineveh, to repent and accept you as Lord and Savior. And if there are any Christians here today that have gone away from you, draw them back as they come and repent of their sins. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.